The Compliance Perspectives podcast is sponsored by Protiviti, a global consulting firm serving the healthcare industry. Learn more at Protiviti.com. Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us from Indiana is Dr. Jennifer Williams. She's the Director of Market Development and Education Credentialing for GHX's VendorMate. And today we're going to be talking about credentialing. First, Jennifer, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, it's my great pleasure. Here from Indiana.
Welcome, welcome. So let's start with the pandemic, which seems to be where we start everything these days. What are the changes the pandemic has brought to credentialing?
Oh, wow. You know, this is a great question to start off with, Adam. It is just broad and bold, as you know, right now. But, you know, I hope I can come up with an equally great answer, and I'm sure I can. You know, I must say that the changes in credentialing have been elevated. They're broad and bold, and some of the changes are really necessary and should have happened before the pandemic. And really, it's much too late, or, you know, it's too bad that we've had to have the pandemic for these necessary changes. But the impact to healthcare facility has directly brought more awareness to credentialing. And really what I mean by this is there's a greater push for enforcement and credentialing, you know, especially around, you know, who enters that healthcare facility. This really ensures that the system remains secure and safe, but, you know, it is a burden. Monitoring this is imperative, and we even have a JCO standard that aligns with this goal. Hospital administrators and compliance experts like ourselves are paying great attention to this. Of course, the changes really aren't meant to keep out the patient out of the system or make it difficult for them to seek care, but, you know, it is imperative that we question who comes within the facility. You know, one question I get often is, does this impact the patient? No, it doesn't. I answer that question all the time. You know, this is really directed at others who may bring about a risk, such as infection control. You know, from this, we've now seen temperature checks have been made available upon entrance. And this is a new infection control brought on by this pandemic. You know, historically, when I think about it, you know, almost anyone could enter a hospital with relative ease at any entry point. Facilities are aligned and do allow this access for patients, visitors, and even contractors, in which I'll speak more about them later. But with the Delta variant, this has increased the need for compliance and safety. Who enters that hospital system? You know, when I think about it, and other office buildings, professional office buildings across the street, you know, I've entered for many years, and I still do. And they really require stringent check-ins and access. And also, when you check in, you have to get a badge. This really wasn't the case in the past for the healthcare facilities. With the pandemic, there has been a trend towards this enforcement and compliance for the better.
And that's great to hear. I mean, and it's important to realize that patient safety obviously is the most important thing, but the safety of your own staff is important too. Now, have there been any surprises in terms of regulatory updates through this era?
Well, I have to say, you know, one surprise is certainly the pandemic itself. Who would have thought this would be taking place? Not me. But what's more is this number of regulatory updates that have been issued in the wake. You know, every day, each day, something different. But again, the administration is looking at, again, safety and security. It is a priority. But I have to say, in this current state of affairs, it's not adequately standardized to meet these contemporary needs. You know, for instance, there's a disparity, we see it, between local, state, and federal government with regards to, well, the new vaccine regulations and vaccine passports, which we've seen recently in Florida. This does prove problematic as it's a challenge for the hospital system with multi-state licenses. You know, it's also a problem for suppliers with a large number of vendors that are going across multiple state lines. It's just hard to keep up with. It also is a problem that a lot of mistakes are being made, negligence, and even fraud. We've seen this. And the Department of Justice is actually focusing on telemedicine and fraudulent billing as we speak. And from this, what has occurred is increase in audits, which leads to even more red tape and procedures. Now, as we go to the hospital level, what we're seeing is, again, the problem of who's entering the hospital. The general resolution is, or the tricks of the trade, have been to monitor all that come on site. Many of the hospitals, you know, are even requiring the contractors to show recordation of COVID vaccinations. And this has led to a degree of stringency greater than we've ever seen in the past. You know, we've not paid attention to contractors, and now we are. But it is really especially important considering what has happened today. When we're talking about compliance, this must be implemented, and this will not be going away anytime soon. There needs to be full visibility and transparency when someone walks into the hospital system, like it's our home.
Obviously, there's also issues with existing staff. Is it worth going back through the existing staff to ensure that credentialing is all up to snuff?
Absolutely. You know, compliance is never once and done or one and done. And that would be an issue in itself. It is not just a list of boxes to be checked, but we must maintain proper cadence. We need to be updated, apprised of, you know, who is walking into the halls of our hospital system, and that includes the staff. You know, we need to check them not just once a year, but all the time. We never know what may change and when, such as the pandemic. You know, I'm going to focus on vendor credentialing. And I'm going to use an example here, which I think will provide some clarity of why. Vendors, suppliers, visitors, and even sales reps should be screened every time they go into the hospital system. They go into the OR. They go into multiple areas of the hospital system. As you know, vendors access not only on a yearly basis, but a weekly basis. And each time these people enter, they should be checked, temperature checked. Have they followed policies? Have they signed the policies? Have they had their criminal check? And so on and so forth. So again, you know, when I talk about, is it worth going back? Yes. But the most important part is that we want to continuously monitor people that come into the facility. One thing I like to talk about in great detail as a compliance expert is a methodology that I refer to often. It's to make, define, measure, analyze, improve, and control. This does help an organization. It looks at what's happened in the past and what's happened today. As I've listened to other podcasts, I like the one on the scorecard. And I'm going to use that again as a segue. So, when we use scorecards, it helps us define the gaps. Remember, define, measure, analyze, improve, and control. It also aligns the compliance team to analyze each unique gap that they may see. We want to provide, and the hospital wants a hospital system that is compliant, a compliance program, and that being continuously improved. They should also communicate frequently. But again, you know, a scorecard provides visibility and accountability. This gives the C-suite and the compliance expert the tools and resources needed to comply with this contemporary vendor credentialing. This should be the North Star. Leaders should adopt three activities or actions to drive system-wide compliance. And one is become familiar with and embrace the rules and regulations associated with vendor compliance. Pretty easily done. Create and execute measurable compliance programs. Sometimes easy done with some assistance. And proactively communicate the importance of a compliance program throughout the organization via downstream messaging. You know, those examples, I hope, clarify the question.
Well, thanks. Now, I hate to look to the future because as we've seen, it's all so unpredictable lately, but where do you think we're going next? What do you anticipate coming down the pipe?
I think there's a lot of opportunity. Lessons learned. I'm going to call this, the next year will be an evolution of such. You know, again, there's many opportunities to rally around safer spaces, and we should, especially the hospital system where our loved ones are going to get care or we're visiting a patient. You know, we all should be advocates for the hospital facility. As compliance experts, we should. We also should be advocates for the patient and the communities in which the hospital sits. You know, the goal here is that compliance and credentialing will become a recognized standard for creating safer spaces due to the pandemic. As I've indicated earlier, it is a best practice when entering into most spaces. Remember, I alluded to that professional building, and now I'm going to allude to an airport. We're checked, we're screened, we should be. You know, as we move forward, credentialing will be its own area of compliance. However it is, but it's become more bright. It is no longer just, you know, the presence of the visitors, vendors on site that's an issue. It's also anyone that does business with a hospital system. Remember, I talked about telemedicine and remote visits included. Those are going to be scrutinized, and they should. It's no longer just a simple physical matter of being on site. You know, to further assist the hospital with closing these compliance gaps, you know, I believe that compliant badging will be of great importance now and in the near future for the health system and the reasons why. Representatives, companies must undergo federal and state sanction checks, and they should and they must. We need the documentation and policy requirements to be completed before entry. You know, we need to provide a safe environment for patients, staff, and visitors, as you'd alluded to. This also can reduce the risk of audits, or if there's an audit, hopefully they don't find anything because we've been compliant. You know, sign off offenders that enter the facility with a non-compliant badge should be a thing of the past. More visibility should be gained into the vendor population. You know, customer success depends on a compliance team, a compliance program, and those compliance leaders leading a specific set of compliance actions using the seven elements of a compliance program. You know, that's it. Compliance is the word of the day. You know, I want to thank you for your time, and I hope you found something of importance today. Thank you, Adam, for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And thanks for sharing your insights with us. And I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.